sin. But Eve should have never let herself get into that situation. She should have ran to her husband, included Adam in the conversation. She should have waited. God walked with them in the cool of the day. She should have included God in that conversation. But she didn't. She thought that she could handle it on her own, and all this mess ended up happening. So, with that said, I just want to say this. This is very serious. Now you listen to me. The way the devil, the men that I know who are addicted to sexual things, pornography, any of that type of stuff, get isolated. They get isolated the same way that 70% of all pornography is viewed between work hours of 9 and 5. 70% is viewed between 9 and 5. They get isolated in their offices. A child gets isolated at home on the computer. A woman gets isolated. We get isolated. We're traveling more on our own these days. More of us have single households than ever before. And we're able to go into our rooms and get on the TV and watch these racy programs and get on the internet. And here comes a pop-up banner than ever before. I want to tell you a story. This happened about a year ago at a previous church that I used to go to. It's really tragic. A 15-year-old girl was on the internet in one of those chat rooms, and she thought she was having a conversation with a 15-year-old boy. Well, after months and months of this online conversation, she told her mom, "Well, I've fallen in love with this boy. Will you take me? He lives in a neighboring state." And this mother, she needs some help herself. But she agreed and brought her daughter to meet this supposedly 15-year-old boy. Well, when they got there, it wasn't a 15-year-old boy. It was a 20-year-old girl, a lesbian girl. And the first thing that happened when she met this girl was shock and then confusion, because she thought, "Well, I've fallen in love with this girl. I must be a lesbian." A long story short, this girl ran away with this 20-year-old girl. And how did this all happen? It happened in an isolated circumstance. She's in her room all by herself doing this online conversation, which was obviously wrong. And that's the way the devil gets us. He isolates us. He gets us by herself. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this: "If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a three cord is not easily broken." The Bible knows that if we stay together in groups, if we stay together in fellowship, he can't get us, so he has to isolate us. Promise Keepers, I believe the year was 2003, did a survey of all the people who came to their events. And they asked the survey how many people had viewed pornography in the week prior to coming to the event. Promise Keepers is an ecumenical movement. I won't get into any of that right now. But what happened was 50% now had viewed to the week prior to the event. The devil is absolutely hammering men, women, and children with this type of thing, because he knows that we're on the brink of eternity spiritually. We're at the river's edge. We're looking into eternity. And by faith, as an Adventist, you have to realize he doesn't do any new plays. We have his play. It's right here. He's doing the same thing that he did in Genesis chapter 3, the same thing that he did in Numbers chapter 25. The prayer, I hope you're all familiar with the prayer. It says, "Lead me not into temptation." All bets are off if you're leading yourself into temptation. If you're allowing situations, if you're going to places, if you're addicted to alcohol and you're going to the bar, all bets are off. The Lord has given us a provision, and praise the Lord, it's by the blood of Jesus Christ to overcome all sin. But if you're putting yourself in circumstances now where you're allowing yourself to be tempted, if you're letting yourself be isolated, you can't expect that the Lord is going to help you, and you're going to go through these falling and getting back up things and never really doing what you want to do. So now that we've established he's got you, he slithered right up into your ear, and now he's isolated you, here's step three. Here's step three in his playbook. If they are armed with the word of God, do not proceed until you have convinced them to lay it down. Let me say that again. If you are armed with the word of God, do not proceed until you have convinced them to lay it down. You have to understand, the very first words the devil says to Eve was, "Have God indeed said." He has to attack the word of God. He knows that that is more powerful than he can withstand. He tries to make her lay it down. The most amazing, most powerful battle wasn't fought with a gun. It wasn't fought with a samurai sword or a nuclear bomb. The most powerful battle ever fought was recorded in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. That's where it's recorded. And it was a war of words that Jesus Christ won. And you remember, he's in the wilderness, and Satan comes to him and he says, you know, it is written this, and he's half-truthing it and manipulating scriptures. And Jesus says, he quotes now three times from the Deuteronomy, it is written, it is written, it is written, game, set, match, the word of God defeated the devil. Amen. Amen. He defeated the devil. He understands that in Genesis chapter 2, they're armed with commandment. God had given them the Sabbath. God had given them marriage. God had given them everything that they needed to know. Do not eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of the good and evil. They knew what they were supposed to do. And he knows now that he has to disarm the commandment that they'd been given. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of our God is quicker and powerful than any sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of thoughts and intent of the heart. Ephesians 6:12 says this, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So he understands that this is nuclear. This is the most powerful weapon that you and me have. Now I want to say this to every man, every woman, every child in this place. The only way to overcome any kind of lust or fear or anger or any other emotions is to first to be submitted to the mind of Christ. Every thought captive. But after that, after you've submitted your mind to the mind of Christ,